Good morning, everyone. Well, turn with me, please, to the book of Acts, chapter 3. If you remember, in chapter 2, we had the day of Pentecost. So there was the miracle, the day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit is poured out upon the disciples, and they go forth into the streets, and they start talking in everybody's languages. And over 3,000 people become believers. And then Peter preaches a sermon to explain what happened, because people are just amazed at this miracle. And they don't understand what's going on. That's chapter 2. Now in chapter 3, we see there was another miracle. There was a man who couldn't walk. And Peter and John walked by and they said, "Look, we don't have any money to give you. What we have, we give you freely in the name of Jesus Christ. Get up and walk." And he gets up and he walks and he jumps and he leaps around and he praises God. And it's another miracle. And again, the crowds are astonished at what has happened. Of course, they've never seen anything like this before. And now Peter is going to explain a second time what's going on here. How is it that this man who had never walked in his life is now walking? So please follow along as I read from Acts chapter 3, beginning in verse 11 and going to the end of the chapter in verse 26. Acts chapter 3, verse 11. While he clung to Peter and John, all the people, utterly astonished, ran together to them in the portico called Solomon's. And when Peter saw it, he addressed the people, "Men of Israel, why do you wonder at this? And why do you stare at us, as though by our own power or our piety we've made him walk? No, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered over and denied in the presence of Pilate when he had decided to release him. But you denied the holy and righteous one and asked for a murderer to be granted to you, and you killed the author of life, whom God raised from the dead. To this we are witnesses, and his name, by faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. And the faith that is through Jesus has given the man this perfect health in the presence of all of you. And now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did also your rulers. But what God foretold by the mouth of all the prophets, that his Christ would suffer, and he thus fulfilled what he promised. Repent, therefore, and turn again, that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send the Christ appointed for you, Jesus, whom heaven must receive until the time for restoring all things about which God spoke by the truth of his holy prophets long ago. Moses said, 'The Lord God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brothers. You shall listen to him in whatever he tells you. And it shall be that every soul who does not listen to that prophet shall be destroyed from the people.' And all the prophets who have spoken, from Samuel and those who came after him, all proclaimed these days. You are the sons of the prophets and of the covenant that God made with your fathers, saying to Abraham, 'And in your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed.' God, having raised up his servant, sent him first to you to bless you by turning every one of you from your wickedness." This is God's word. Here we have again, the gift that was given is not money, it's not silver, it's not gold, it's Jesus Christ. that which we truly need in our lives more than anything else. So Peter's explaining what happened here. And the first thing he says is, this miracle, it's not by medical science. It's not an accident. It's not a trick of your eyes. It's not by some power that Peter or John have. No, this is of God. This is God's work that he has done here. He says, why do you stare at us thinking that it's by our power or our piety, meaning by our being super holy and being really godly people? No, it's not because we are so godly that God answered our prayer. This is God's work. God, the God of our fathers, the God of the Old Testament, and the God for us, as we know now, the New Testament. The God of history, the God who created all things, is the one who has raised this man up from the dead. And it's not just through this random power. It is because of Jesus that this man has been healed. It is because of trusting in Jesus. First, Peter and John's trust and faith in Jesus, and then this man's faith in Jesus that he has been healed in verses 13 through 15 here. He first says what has happened, that we handed Jesus over, that we denied who he was, that we asked for Jesus in his humanity, who was innocent. We asked for him to be crucified, but God raised him from the dead. God honored Jesus because he is his son, because he is God, because he obeyed and fulfilled all that God called him to, that none of us have and none of us are able to. Jesus fulfilled it all. All of God's righteousness, and therefore God honored him. And in raising him from the dead, now there is life. There is life. And as a demonstration of what this life in Jesus is like, he heals this man who'd never been able to walk before in his entire life. And it is by faith in Jesus, that this man has been healed in verses 16 through 18. Verse 16 says, and his name, Jesus, by faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. And the faith that is through Jesus has given this man perfect health. So there's something that's going on here. As Peter and James say, we don't have money, but we have Jesus. We trust and we believe in Jesus. And he's taking this opportunity that God presents to him to share with someone else the good news of Jesus Christ. How often we get scared, we get hesitant, we close our mouths and we stop talking about Jesus so often to non-believers. But here we have Peter and John seeing a man in need. And their faith in Jesus is so powerful, is so strong, it's real, that they cannot help talking about Jesus. We're going to see that exact line that they use in chapter 4, in the next chapter of Acts, where they're commanded, I don't want to give it away, but I got it, it's so good, that they're commanded by the religious rulers, the Sanhedrin, saying, shut up. Stop talking about Jesus. No more. Or you know what happened to Jesus? Something's going to happen to you. And they say, sorry, we can't help talking about what we've seen and heard, because they spent time with Jesus and it flowed out of them in their faith for Jesus. Now this man too sees that and believes and is healed. Well, then there's the call of, what do we do? What are we supposed to do then? It's our fault. We sent Jesus to the cross. What do we do? Peter replies in verses 19 through 21. He says, repent and turn to God, Repent, therefore, and turn again, that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come, and that God may send the Christ to us in faith. This is the call of what we do. What do we do? What do we do when we see who Jesus is? When we realize that it's our sinfulness that sent Jesus to the cross? What do we do when we realize Jesus is God and that we have ignored him, disobeyed him, forgotten about him, treated him in a transactional way as opposed to as Lord? If Jesus really is God, then what we say, what we do, how we act, how we respond to him has got to be as he is Lord. What he says is true and goes. What he commands, we obey and we follow. And it starts with repenting, meaning turning away. Turning away from our life that is sinful. Turning away from our life that ignores God and turning to God. Now, none of this should have been a surprise to anyone who knew the Old Testament. This didn't just happen. It didn't just happen that Jesus was born and that it just sort of happened that he died and happened that he rose again. These aren't just random events that occurred together. No, all of this was promised by God, verses 22 through 26. He goes back and he quotes Moses. He speaks about the prophets, about Samuel and all those who came after them, reminding us again, too, of the words of Abraham. He points throughout the whole Old Testament and all of God's promises, saying this is what he said would happen, that he would raise a Messiah up who would walk in perfect holiness without sin, that he would die for us, and yet death would not hold him. He would rise again from the dead. God promised to send us a Savior, and God is always truthful. God is always faithful to his promises. He always keeps his promises. And just as he had promised to send a Savior and did send Jesus, he has promised that Jesus is coming again, and he is coming again. Let us remember in faith that Jesus died for our sins, that we would be healed eternally, spiritually, in truth, and in all fullness. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your love for us, that you sent Jesus to die on the cross in our place. I pray, O Lord God, that you would open our eyes and open our ears, that we would repent, O Lord God, when we have walked away from you, and that we would in faith believe in you and be healed. I pray too, O Lord God, that you would open our mouths, that we would speak to the world around us of the goodness, the glory of Jesus Christ and his sacrifice for us. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.